We drive north on Highway 12, the Big Sioux out our left window, Lust Bluffs and the entrances to Dorothy Pico and Stone State Park out the right. A dead wild turkey rests on its side in the northbound lane. The six of us travel on, five students and me, until we reach the Broken Kettle Grassland Preserve, the largest tract of prairie in Iowa, the last stronghold. The preserve feels the pressure from all sides, Conservancy Director Scott Moat says. Quote, scale, climate change, invasion, politics, and ultimately a monumental failure of imagination can hold us hostage, can rob our inertia to act, end quote. I too know this feeling of being robbed. I felt it in my conversations with my grandmother before she died, in my interactions with my dad, with my kids as I watched them grow in size and distance. And I feel it in those quiet moments all by myself when I look inside and see my own shortcomings. I'm unprepared for what's next. We all are. A broken kettle, prairie sage, and thistle and lint and leafy spurge abound. There's an annual yellow mustard bird nest made of buffalo hair, the white flash of a coyote's rump, a raccoon looking both ways before crossing the road. Scott Moats knows everything and revels in getting us to ask the right questions about cedars and sumac and how a cottonwood reveals a symmetrical star when you break open its branch. I tell Moats this must be evidence of a god. He doesn't comment. He goes on about how the Conservancy uses a controlled burn for rejuvenation. As Moats speaks outwardly, I wonder inwardly how I might rejuvenate myself. As a husband, a father, a son, a teacher, a man. In the past, it was easy. Break up with a girlfriend, go on a road trip, eat some mushrooms. These options aren't available anymore. There's no magic pill to take, no trail oozing elixir. So I look to the past, to the masters, books of my heroes, models by the experts. Up to now, though, all answers have expiration dates. I know I need a new way to live. We learn lots about buffalo as we talk with Moats, that August is mating season, and that they feed into the wind and take midday siestas. We hear about buffalo socializing and how they walk about 5 miles a day. Some run sprints, a little calf flies down a ridgeline. We come closer to answers to some deep questions simply by being here at the preserve, by bearing witness to the spectacle of these buffalo. We learn about the prairie and our place in it. 1. The prairie matters because it teaches. It shows us that to maximize biodiversity, we mostly just need to get out of the way. 2. Prairie shows us interdependence. The buffalo wallow and voila, skinks and prairie rattlesnakes and songbirds have habitat. 3. Prairie shows us resiliency and the successional plants sprouting up on a hillside within days of a burn, and the killdeer who return within a week in the shamrock green Lust Ridge 3 weeks post-fire. 4. Prairie shows us scale. There have been over 150 birds documented here, and a square yard of prairie contains 20 miles of roots. 5. Prairie shows us promise. The passflower has been used to treat rheumatism, boils, and burns. Prairie violets have vitamin C. Navajos chewed the roots of the hoary pacoon to treat coughs. The Meskwaki made a tea out of prairie phlox to treat eczema. The Dakota gave snow on the mountain tea to mothers without milk. We have no concept of what we're destroying. 6. Prairies protect us. Because of the porousness of the Lust, these prairies offer flood control. Prairies help to cleanse soils and air and water of toxins and waste, and they do it for free. We don't need multi-billion-dollar Army Corps managed dams or lobbyists in Washington, D.C. to keep the Missouri in check. We just need more prairie. Who needs Congress when we have the 40-foot roots of yucca? 7. Finally, prairies help reveal our own potential. They show us where to find the reset button, how to resurrect the best of ourselves from within. That for new parts to grow, some old ways have to die. This is the advice I have to learn to take. To live, there's a lot in me that needs to die. I feel it. The anger, the self-loathing, the well, a lot more. I don't have enough time. I just know there's some things inside that I don't want there anymore. And I'm like all the rest. I don't want to suffer to get to the promised land. I don't want to do the hard work of looking inside myself and seeing what my true self sees. That to be a good father, I'll have to make my peace with myself as a son. that I can't be a good husband until I become a better man, that I'll have to let go to live. At Broken Kettle, I see how much I'm in need of repair. I'm a walking self-help cliche. I bring home a pocket full of souvenirs, a tuft of buffalo hair pulled from a patch of little blue stem, a clipping of smooth hoary vervain, a succession of weed pulled soon after a fire. A couple of students have asked me why the prairie is so special and why it should be saved. Then after getting out in it and seeing bull snakes and Virginia water leaves and indigo buntings, deer trotting in a buffalo herd, they see it's special and know it must endure. But then they ask another question, or maybe it's an observation. In evolutionary time, the prairie will come and it will go. And this is the time it will be gone, and that this is the natural course of things. If I believe this, then I think it means that I believe what humans are doing to the earth is natural. I'm in the other camp. I've always been with the John Steinbecks who asked why progress looks so much like destruction. But now I may see something else. Yes, progress is apocalypse. The old houses eventually fall down. We haven't yet learned to build forever. Which is all just saying the oldest truth in the book. I'm going to die. I don't know if the buffalo hair can go with me. A priest once told me you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. So I put ink to paper, data to drives. I make love to my wife. We make children. We create things to outlive us. We can try to do this on our own, or we can do it with help. We look to our own pasts, to our families. We read books. We bow our heads to the earth. In Sioux City, Iowa, we bend down and rub our fingers through lust and touch over 10,000 years of life, which means we are touching all of existence because everything is one thing. All the world in a grain of lust, all of me and all of you and all of heavy metal music and labradoodles and rollerblading and all the other things I can't know or understand. The prairie shows us how to remake the world. Fires burn and birds make nests. Wildflowers sprout from ash. When roots are deep, plants survive. New seeds arise from old earth. So I water mine here, in the Lust Hills, a broken kettle within myself. The earth isn't the only place a flower can bloom.
Ryan Allen shared his story at Ode's live storytelling event earlier this month. The theme was belonging. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week,
people asked how we liked living in Maggie Schultz's house, even though dear old Maggie had been dead for decades.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. The next live show is Friday, July 27 at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Lessons Learned. Support for Siouxland Public Media and Ode comes from Siouxland Woman Magazine, celebrating women, supporting diversity, and supporting the Siouxland Tri-State area. For more information about Siouxland Woman Magazine, visit their website at siouxlandwoman.com. The music is by Sean Blomberg, played live at Ode last year. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
When there's nothing left to lose, I can fly right if I choose. You can buy, but you can't wear my shoes. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. So I'm heading home to lick my wounds. And share with my family the news. I put some miles on these here shoes. I've got nothing left to lose. So So hopped a midnight train down the coast. I was still wrestling with your ghost. And it caught me a bad case of the blues. When I had nothing left to lose, spinning circles in the sand, and down came a guiding hand. To show me the way I was confused. When I had nothing left to lose, when there's nothing left to lose, well, you could fly right if you choose. Shame on me and shame on you. When there's nothing left to lose.
Thanks.